Okay, we are up to Perek Ches, Mishnah Beis, Chapter 8, Mishnah 2. And last time we mentioned these cases of a Petsua Daka and a Krosh Shivcha, these individuals who are prohibited to marry into the Jewish nation, in particular for these men to marry a Jewish woman of proper lineage, or I guess we should say of biological lineage. We'll see what that means in a second. This Mishnah Beis, wants to define who these people are exactly. So says the Mishnah, Ezehu Petsua Daka. Who is a man that is considered a Petsua Daka? Who is a man that's considered one who has wounded testicles, wounded beitzim? Kol shenifta'u habeitzim shelo, any man whose testicles, if they've been wounded in a way that makes him unable to have children, then that means whether they were, let's say, cut, crushed, punctured, removed, or internally injured. That's based on what the Gemara says, and the Farshim explain. Any of these individuals who they're wounded and it makes them unable to have children, that's a Petsua Daka. Even if only one of his testicles is wounded in this way, and again, he can't have children because of it, then he is going to be in this category, and therefore he can't marry into the Kahal. Uchrushavcha, and a man too who's a Krushavcha, who has a severed Iver. Kosha Nechras Hagid. Any man that even part of this Iver has been severed, then we consider this person this in the category of Krush Shavcha, and then he can't marry into the Kahal, because the idea is that once the Iver has been severed in some way, that he cannot have children anymore. But says the Mishnah, V'im nishtayer meha tara afilu kichot ha-sara. Let's say the injury is in such a way that the atara is like the tip part of the Iver. So that the tip part of the Iver, if even a part of it remains, meaning even if in that section it's just like as thin as like a strand of hair hanging off, then we can for sure say that the Iver itself, meaning below this tip area, wasn't severed at all, and therefore kasher, he is allowed to marry into the Kahal. He's not considered a Krushavcha because we understand that that's the important part, that that's necessary, and therefore he can still father children technically, and therefore we say he is allowed to marry into the Kahal. He is kosher. Says the Mishnah, Petsua Daka Chrushavcha Mutar B'Gioris Meshachreres. Nonetheless, that a man who is a Petsua Daka, or a man who is a Krushavcha, they can marry a Gioris, they can marry a woman who converts to Judaism, and they can marry a Canaanite slave woman as well, who was freed. Both of them are full Jews, so they're allowed to marry them. Ve'inan Asurin Elam Milavo Bakahalan. They are only prohibited from quote unquote entering into the Kahal. And when we say entering into the Kahal, we mean women who are born with biological Jewish lineage. And MR, as it says, Lo Yavo Petsua Daka Chrushavcha B'Kahal Hashem, you can't allow these individuals into the Kahal Hashem. And again, Kahal Hashem is not defined, God forbid, you should never think that a Gioris or even like a freed Canaanite slave, that they are not Jewish. They are not totally Jewish, but rather that the Kahal Hashem is defined as biological Jews, and since and so therefore they're prohibited to biological Jews, but not to anyone else who is not a biological Jew. Okay, Mishnah Gimel now that we're speaking about those who are prohibited, who have extenuating marriage circumstances, let's call it that, in terms of who they're able to marry. So now let's discuss more cases. So that's what Mishnah Gimel says. Amoni Umoavi Asurim. If you have a convert from the nation of Ammon and Moab, they are not allowed to marry a Jewish woman who is, again, biologically Jewish. V'isuran iser olam, and this is an everlasting prohibition, so meaning at no point will this guy or his descendants who converted to Judaism from these nations be allowed to marry be able to marry a biological Jewish woman. Aval nekevo seyem mutaros miat, but if you have an Ammonite or a Moabite, right, those are the female converts from these nations, they are allowed to marry Jewish men of biological Jewish lineage immediately once they convert. And that's how Rus HaMoavia, right, David HaMelech's great-grandmother, that's how he was understood to be a kosher lineage, because it was permissible for her to marry a Jewish man in her generation after she converted to Judaism. Says the Mishnah further, Mitzri v'Adomi einam asurim ela ad shlosh adoros. That if you have a convert from the Egyptian nation or for the Edomite nation, they're forbidden to marry Jews who are, again, biologically Jewish up to three generations, meaning the convert can't marry a biological Jew, his children can't marry, but his grandchildren are allowed to marry says the Mishnah, Echad Zuchar Me'echad Nakivus, this applies to both men and women. So if you're a male or a female convert from either of these nations, Egypt or Edom, only the grandchild can marry into a biological Jewish person. So it applies to both men and women. Rabbi Shimon, Matir Esa Nakivus Miad. But Rabbi Shimon says, no! Women from Mitzrayim and Edom, from Egypt and Edom, are permissible to a Jewish man of biological lineage immediately once they convert. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Kavachomer advarim, it makes sense, it's a Kavachomer. Why? Umayim, b'makom sha'asar esah zacharim isar olam hitir esah nakivus miyad. In the case of Ammon and Moab, where the Torah says that the males are prohibited forever, but it still permits the females immediately, then makom shalo asar esah zacharim ela ad shlosha doros, eno din shenatir esah nakivus miyad. Then when it comes to Mitzrayim and Edom, to Egypt and Edom, when the Torah says they're only prohibited up until three generations, then doesn't it make sense that we should also allow the females immediately if the nation that the men are always forbidden, the women are permissible right away? Then doesn't it make sense that the nations that are prohibited only until the third generation, doesn't it make sense that the women should be permissible immediately? Say the Chachamim Amru Lo, the Chachamim say to Rabbi Shimon, Im Malacha Nekabel. If you receive this as a tradition from your teachers, then we'll accept it. But if it's based on the logic of your kavachomer, then we have an answer that makes this kavachomer irrelevant. What's that? Well, why were these nations prohibited? Ammon and Moab were prohibited. Why? Just the men. Why? Because when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they passed by these lands specifically, and the people didn't greet them with bread and water. But this was only the men's fault and not the women's fault, and therefore, the women are allowed to marry in right away, because the women did nothing wrong. But when it comes to Mitzrayim and Edom, there is no real halachic basis to differentiate between them. Therefore, it should apply to both of them. So therefore, say the Chachamim, we're not going to accept your Kavachomer unless it was like a Mesorah Dika Kavachomer. Says Rabbi Shimon, Amar Lehem, what are you talking about? Rabbi Shimon says back to them, low key, what you're saying is not correct. This Kavachomer is logical, and the response that you're giving is not correct, because the women of those nations also should have greeted the Jewish women. So even though maybe bread and water, I don't know, but they certainly should have greeted them in some way, shape, or form, and therefore, so even they should be at fault. But nonetheless, the women, the Torah permits their female converts, so the Torah should certainly then do that for the female converts of Mitzrayim and Edom. Says the Mishnah, though, Halacha Ani Omer, but nonetheless, what I'm telling you is a tradition, it is a halacha that I learned from my teachers, from my Rebbeim, and therefore you should accept it regardless, even if you don't like my reasoning. Then concludes the Mishnah, Mamzeirin, Unasin, and Nasurin. Both Mamzeirin and Nasins, right, we've discussed the Nasin people, they are the descendants of the Givonim, so from the times of Yehoshua. So again, yeah, Mamzerim and Nasinim, they're both forbidden to marry into the Jewish nation. Again, to marry a biological Jew. The Isuran Isra Olam, and this prohibition is also an everlasting prohibition, meaning their children, their grandchildren, etc., will never be able to marry a regular Jewish person. And so that was specifically speaking about the men, that these men, Mamzerim or men, Nasinim, cannot marry a Jewish woman by a biological descent. But, that concludes the Mishnah, Echad Zacharim Ve'echad Nakevos, this applies to both men and to women. They are both included in this prohibition. If you have a male Nasin or a female Nasin or Nasina, or you have a male Mamzer or a female Mamzeris, neither one of these people can marry into the biological opposite gender of the nation. They would only be able to marry a Gioris and seemingly a Eved Kananis who was a Mishachureris as well, but they cannot marry the biological Jewish descent person. Okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Gimel. God willing, next time I'll continue with Mishnah Dalit, but for now, we'll stop right here.